This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track pod presented by MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by Senior Fun Buns, Brandon Funston from The Athletic. And let's dig in. It is a Week 9 waiver wire show. But before we get to our Fantasy 5 and the breakdown of who you need to be targeting, who you need to be breaking the piggy bank for and spending that fab cash, got to talk about the huge news that impacted the early week of Fantasy Land, really kind of shaking it to the core. George Kittle. Going to be out for at least 8 weeks with a broken bone in his foot and potentially for the rest of the year. Meanwhile, his teammate ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Too low down. Yeah, well, yeah. Nobody's going crazy about that for Jimmy Garoppolo. Could be out for 6 weeks. So it's a Nick Mullins show, Ross Dwelly, Jordan Reed back in a week or two. Same with Deebo Samuel with a hamstring injury. Is it all Brandon Ayuk all the time this week against the Green Bay Packers on Thursday and really maybe moving forward?
Well, yeah, and Deebo coming back. And, you know, Jordan Reed will be interesting when he gets back into the action as well. But, yeah, it's Ayuk's the guy who's been healthiest throughout this whole thing, and he's slowly building. We're seeing back-to-back 100-yard games out of him and talked him up as – kind of in that Deebo Samuel mold, a physical yak guy, kind of the running back playing wide receiver, but even bigger body than Deebo Samuel. And we've already seen him kind of build some momentum on jet sweeps as well. I just think San Francisco is going to lean heavily on him. And Deebo, when he comes back, there's probably going to be a lot of jet sweeps in the offense for these guys as well. But you got to do some creative things to kind of minimize the Nick Mullins kind of aspect of this offense. You look, he's a backup for a reason. He was even pulled for CJ Beathard earlier in the year. There's some suspectness to it. So if they can lean heavily on the run using these receivers in the short and intermediate range and getting some jet sweeps out of them, I think that you'll see a lot of that kind of creativity going, but it's going to be a lot of Ayuk and a lot of Deebo when he comes back as well.
Yeah, a lot of versatility, a lot of motion. That's what Kyle Shanahan loves to do. The offensive line still relatively intact. And Kendrick Bourne, another player out there, you know, if you're desperate in a deeper league and need a wide receiver in a pinch, certainly worth picking up and plugging in this week against the Green Bay Packers in the short week on Thursday Night Football. Then maybe following up in week number 10 against the New Orleans Saints. Let's also not forget San Francisco does get Dallas week 2 of the fantasy playoffs in week 15. So buying low on Deebo Samuel is a suggested and highly recommended move as he is number one among all wide receivers in yak per reception this year at 13.31. So get him on the cheap while the injury discount still applies. Also, if you want to win some money, go to MonkeyKnifeFight.com right now and sign up with that promo code FTN. It's an awesome DFS game. It's just more or less over or under on your favorite player props that are out there. You match them together in a pack of two all the way up to six. That's called parlaying. The more you hit on the over or the under on, the more you stash greenbacks into your pocket. Go there right now, MonkeyKnifeFight.com, and use that promo code FTN to get a free $5 game on the house. Let's get to it. Today's Fantasy 5.
Number 5.
All right, it's a waiver wire show here on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track podcast. So let's start off with a couple of running backs. You know, likely out there in a shallow league. Maybe you're in a 10-teamer. Maybe you're in a 12-teamer with a short bench. Who do you like better, Jamichael Hasty? We're just talking about the San Francisco 49ers, 42% rostered in Yahoo leagues right now, or Nyheim Hines, who scored a 10.0, maybe across the board, with his acrobatics, his gymnastics, which Simone Biles said, bravo, Nyheim Hines. You got a future on the floor exercise there for the Indianapolis Colts. So what do you think? Hines at 30% rostered. Who would you rather have of the two this week and really rest of the season?
Yeah, I think you got to grade the gymnastics on an NFL curve. You know, give him a 10 comparatively to his colleagues. But, yeah, he could have stuck the landing a little bit better in reality. I'm going to go Nyheim Hines. I think the San Francisco offense is heading south in the backfield. And eventually Raheem Mostert's going to be back and Jerick McKinnon's there. And I'm sorry, but Jamichael Hasty's kind of just sort of, from my point of view, sort of a jag. I hate to say
And Isaiah
it,
but... Crowell?
Yeah, well, I actually liked Isaiah Crowell more at one point than I do Jamichael Hasty, but I think I'm going to go with Nyheim Hines. Put up, you know, this past week in week one, bookends some weirdly, strangely ineffective weeks, but we always felt like he would be someone that Phillip Rivers would lean on a lot because we know his tendencies to want to throw to the running back. I don't know why that hasn't materialized as much consistently. But I think it's still the possibility for that. I'd be chasing that. I'd want to see what Nyheim Hines has up his sleeve for next week because we could see this start to build in momentum. It's always made sense. I'm not sure why it went dry for a while, but I would rather kind of mine that upside than Hasty's.
Well, I mean, the schedule is ridiculous for the Indianapolis Colts, you know, really after this week as you get the Baltimore Ravens, but after that you get Tennessee twice, Green Bay, Houston twice, and Las Vegas, toughest matchup from weeks 10 to 16, not until week 16, and once you go on the road at Pittsburgh. So, yeah, Hines in a PPR, but Jamichael Hasty, you know, he's worth an Andy Lincoln or maybe $6-7 in terms of fab betting for this upcoming week. Green Bay has allowed the most fantasy points in running back position. He gets anywhere close to double figures in terms of touches he got against Seattle. It could be 50 yards and a touchdown. Another bye heavy week. That'll get it done in a pinch.
Number four.
All right, let's move on to a couple of kind of wide receivers. At least one of them is more of a hybrid player right now. One is definitely a wide receiver. Tell me you'd rather have these two guys, Curtis Samuel, 20% rostered in Yahoo Leagues, a matchup on the horizon against the Kansas City Chiefs, or Jalen Reagor at 24%, getting 6 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards, and found the end zone in his return to the lineup after a thumb injury. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think as much as I hate to say it, because Curtis Samuel's played very well lately, I'm going to go Jalen Reagor. And he didn't do much in his debut on Sunday night, but he showed up a lot. And he had the 6 targets, and he had a touchdown. He almost had another one. I can't remember if he had a pass interference penalty that he drew, but he was in the mix. And for the first game, you feel good about that and where this could go. I don't think we'll see a whole lot of DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey this year. I think Jalen Reagor is the clear number two wide receiver, where Curtis Samuel is still the number three, and Christian McCaffrey likely to be back this week. So that just casts a further shadow on his workload expectations. I think on a more consistent basis, you're going to see Jalen Reagor getting volume compared to Curtis Samuel.
I do like Samuel this week, similar to Jamichael Hasty, you know, with his matchup against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Even with CMC back, I think Samuel is going to be utilized in a very gadgety way. They're going to have to break out everything in the playbook, go deep down and dive deep to pull out some of those unique setups against his Kansas City offense to try to keep pace. So he may have a nice game, as say, as a flex option and 12-team in deeper leagues, but I'm with you. It's Reagor rest of season. And by the way, peering ahead, Philadelphia in the fantasy playoffs, you get New Orleans, Arizona, and Dallas. Yes, please. I would go as high as $12 on Reagor if I needed some wide receiver help in my league. Again, only rostered in 24% of Yahoo leagues. Fly, Eagle, fly.
Number three.
All right, let's move on a little bit deeper and peer into the crevasses of the waiver wire. And, oh, there's Darnell Mooney. Oh, he's only 6% rostered right now in Yahoo leagues. Oh, he's interessante, Brandon, a player that found the end zone last week. And you get Tennessee upcoming here in week number 9. 12 players have surpassed at least 10 fantasy points and a half-point PPR setup against this secondary, which is adding some help, right? Traded for Desmond King.
Yep.
And, boy, do they need it, because they have been underwhelming, to say the least. Third most fantasy points at wide receiver position, a 7.1 YPA allowed. Jonathan Joseph giving up a 119.5 passer rating, 1.37 yards per snap, and a 64.7 catch rate to his assignments. But Mooney right now, Brandon, wide receiver 7, and ADOT average depth of target at 15.9. And it looks like he's really starting to establish a rhythm for who I now call the big flaccid in Nick Foles. So what do you like here about Mooney? Would you fire off a few buckaroos fab-wise on him, say, in a 14-team or deeper league if you need some wide receiver depth?
Yeah, even maybe even a 12-team deeper league, you know, and competitive 12-team league. But I think the problem here is like that 60 yards and a touchdown sort of his upside in this offense as being, you know, the number two behind Allen Robinson in a clear number two at that. There's a big discrepancy there. But he's starting – we're seeing this, you know, slowly start to build momentum and be a little bit better each and every week. And I think, you know, the definition here is that he can be serviceable. And I think he could be better than that in a different – environment, but such as it is, tied to Nick Foles, you can't get overly excited. He's going to likely be sort of bi-week plug-and-play material.
It is the Bears, after all. There's very little excitement to be gained.
Number two.
All right, let's go to running back. Let's work in a three-pack of players. I want you to rank these guys for me. Again, largely available in shallow leagues, and you may need some RB assistance, so you might want to kick the tires on some of these guys with Cincinnati, Cleveland, Philadelphia, and the L.A. Rams in a one-week siesta. Damien Harris, 47% rostered in Yahoo League. Zach Moss off a 2-TD performance at 54%, or Justin Jackson, back after a down week. He was highly active as a runner and as a receiver against the Denver Broncos, 56% rostered. Rank him for me.
Action, action. I want Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N. I want Jackson because of what he's been doing in the passing game and taking over for kind of the Austin Eckler role. Now, we've seen him have two good games and one bad game where Josh Kelly kind of had the good game in between. But I think we're going to see more consistently that Justin Jackson's going to be the lead guy in this backfield, and I think he has the higher helium because of that passing game work. So I want Jackson first. I think I'll go Zach Moss second and Damien Harris third. But I really think all these guys are pretty close. To me, though, very strongly feel that Jackson's first. Moss and Harris are sort of closely tied together for me after that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm going to go Jackson first. And again, I'm always looking ahead. You know, if you're trending right now to a fantasy playoff spot, you got to start looking at the schedule and, you know, slicing and dicing it. And you look at Buffalo's, it's tough, man, with matchups against Pittsburgh and Denver. Week 16 at New England, really nothing to fear. They were the Patriots' front. They have been rather flimsy this season. But Jackson, meanwhile, better matchups on the plate for him. Atlanta, Vegas, hell yes. In the second round of the fantasy playoffs, and then a rematch with Denver, and he just carved him up. And then, you know, Damien Harris, this week in particular, I like him because it's the Jets. But, yeah, I would rank it Jackson, Moss, Harris. Man, Zach Moss is running hard. Really impressed by him. Looking like the guy we thought he would be out of the University of Utah, like getting some of those tough yards after initial contact.
Number one.
Oh, speaking of a yak machine, Brandon, more of a yak monster coming up from the depths of the waiver wire, the Leviathan. That's Jordan Wilkins, 2% rostered in Yahoo League. He's going to be arguably the hottest waiver wire option this week because we got a full-blown committee now. As Frank Wright came out and said, hot hand, he owned it. We believe in all three running backs, including Jonathan Taylor, who he looks like he may have usurped. He's dealing with an ankle injury of unknown severity at this moment in time, and Nyheim Hines and the gymnastics act. But, you know, you peel back the layers of the onion, and Jordan Wilkins has been flat out better at Jonathan Taylor in every single category. 3.35 yak per attempt on the season. He's forced a missed tackle 30.8% of the time. Taylor just a 2.10 yak per attempt and 9.3 missed tackle percentage. You look at the schedule, as we discussed, pair of matchups against Tennessee, pair of matchups against Houston. Get Green Bay in there. Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe initially against Baltimore, but are you breaking the bank for the pride of Ole Miss, Brandon? It's Jordan Wilkins, your boy.
Yeah, I've been talking him up for a couple of years now, saying that we need to free him, get him in somewhere. I had talked in preseason how I was like, oh, Atlanta, you know, Colts, cut him. And Atlanta, sign him, make him Todd Gurley's backup, and just wait for that arthritic knee to take him down. And never happened, but who knew that an opportunity would arise for Wilkins behind Marlon Mack and behind Jonathan Taylor, the ballyhooed rookie from Wisconsin. And yeah, he's getting an opportunity right now. It sounds like Jonathan Taylor has a bit of an ankle injury and also has an efficiency problem. And he's just not running well. And so I think what is going to happen because Indy's not going to give up on Jonathan Taylor. They expended a decent amount of draft capital for him, and I'm sure they'll tell you they still believe in him. But I think Frank Reich is willing to go hot hand, is willing to play this as a platoon and to figure out how he can maximize his production there. And if that means Jonathan Taylor has to take a back seat for a few weeks, I would not be surprised if that happens. So, yeah, unfortunately, I cut Jordan Wilkins like last week on a deep team because I just couldn't wait around any longer. I didn't expect this to happen. But here we are. This is the way it always does. It happens that way in fantasy, right? You cut a guy and then they go off. It's guaranteed. So, yeah, I like Jordan Wilkins a lot, though.
Yeah, I say smash that piggy bank, baby. It's all about that Charmin soft schedule. And if he can continue to own the hot hand, Jordan Wilkins, I can't believe I'm saying this, Brandon, could be a league winner. It's that easy of a slate remaining, and the Colts seem to be galvanizing, getting that offensive line more cohesive, coming together at the right time. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast, again, presented by MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Check out Brandon Funston's excellent work at The Athletic, and follow him on Twitter, at Brandon Funston. Check me out at Noisy Huevos, and check out FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, and FTNBets.com for all of your fantasy sports and sports betting content needs. Use the promo code Evans, E-V-A-N-S, when you sign up and get 10% off your subscription today. Got a lot of free content there as well. Drop us a rating and or review, would you kindly? And until next time, adios, amigos!